From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this seventh day of April. A wonderful Wednesday. I'm Stacy Ann, and I have the honor of hanging out with you. It's 9:06 in the morning, and today the temperature is 45 degrees right now, and it's going to warm up to about 53 degrees. We're going to see the clouds in the air, and guess what? Yeah, there's about a 20% chance of rain, and so as we move towards the weekend, though, it's going to warm back up to the 60s, so we have that to look forward to, and when that sun peeks out of those clouds, I know it certainly makes my day, and I hope it does as for you as well. I want to thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use, and I want to say thank you to so many of you that are calling, sending me emails, with information, community calendar, event, things that are happening, picking up as we move into this new season. And we're going to hit on some of that this morning. I had a guest scheduled the first part of this hour, and it didn't work out. And so we had a change of schedule. So I thought, well, we've got a lot of newsy items that we can get through. And I want to encourage you, if there's anything in this first half an hour that resonates with you, that you have a couple thoughts on, and you want to share and give me a call, you certainly can. Call the studio line at 503-589-1220. Now, I want to also share with you that we have a major sponsor of the morning show, and I'm really excited about this, and I'm excited to promote it and share with you because I think it's a part of opening up Oregon. It's part of the solution, right? We're all about being a part of the solution and connecting and hitting some of the stuff that we've been facing now for over a year. Hard to believe. And so the Safe Air Network is a morning show sponsor, and I love this. If you're not a member of the Safe Air Network, you don't have safe air and surfaces. Do not wait until someone is infected in your space. Do not be responsible for residents, students, staff, customers, or loved ones getting infected with COVID. Do not ruin the reputation with a COVID outbreak. And so even the threat of COVID, and even those that are like, ah, COVID's nothing but more than a flu, right? Here's the thing. Allergy season's really strong right now. The flu season, well, that's kind of been replaced by COVID. But we know we still have airborne threats, right? Whether COVID is a thing or not. This is so cool. Safe Air Network and the products and the technology, not only within 3 minutes will clean the air, but also goes after the surfaces that are needing disinfected. And so there is no technology like this. The technology has been used by NASA, has been used in hospital systems and in big stadiums previously, and now they've made it available for our small offices, our dental offices, our school rooms, all of those kinds of things. So it really is a part of the solution. Go to safeairnetwork.com today. Find out more. There's a great video that explains it, and it'll tell you how you can get connected and have a free evaluation of your space and surfaces to make sure that you're sanitized making sure that your surfaces and air is all clean. And as we continue on this morning, I want to share a few things. I came across this on Facebook, and it's interesting. You know, I have shared my story a little bit with you. I think you all know that I've been in radio for more than almost 30 years, right at 30 years now, a little longer than that. I started when I was in college, and mostly I've done Christian radio, right? And in Christian radio, the songs, the music, they give the message and they give inspiration and hope. And in between songs, we could share, you know, a Bible verse or maybe a little personal testimony. But the couple things that they pretty much tell you not to deal with is you don't really want to talk about the politics or bad news. That's kind of just, it's a good news, a hope-filled messenger, and of course, music. And they'll promote events and things like that. But you really didn't have the liberty to kind of address some of the things we were facing in our community today. And it was interesting because I was a part of a radio station back in Arkansas for a few years. And I wasn't live. I did voice tracking, which was pre-recorded. and love them. They're great people. They all are faith-filled, community-minded. In fact, the radio station has a great presence in Northwest Arkansas. And the morning announcer, Mark, he's been with the station for many years. He's a super cool dude. He put a picture on their morning show page, and it's a picture of him wearing a mask and gloves. And it says, Mark wants all fast food employees to keep wearing masks, and Christy doesn't want to hold hands during the dinner prayer before eating, all in the name of avoiding germs. Are there any COVID rules you'd like to stay in place after COVID? And I was like, oh my goodness, they're making fun and kind of goofing off about this because they're in Arkansas. They don't have the lockdown mandates that we're dealing with here in Oregon. And so, of course, I have to stick my nose in it. And I say, we are being conditioned to accept the new normal of our constitutional liberties being taken away. It really isn't a joke. Come live in Oregon for a week where everything is still on lockdown, and it's not because our numbers are higher. Friends, we must raise up the awareness before it's too late. You know the whole frog in boiling water thing? It's happening, and believers aren't thinking it's just a fad. We've got to face these COVID restrictions. I'm afraid that unless we stand up for our liberties, one day we'll be saying, I remember when we could walk around freely. And then I encouraged them to look into David Barton's Patriot Academy and Chris Ann Hall. And as a radio station, maybe they should be helping people know what their rights and liberties are. And so anyway, that was a little area that I can maybe be an influence and help people in the other parts of the world that aren't locked down like us know what we're walking through. And I remember when we were in CPAC, when I went to CPAC, everybody's like, oh my gosh, you're in Oregon? Oh, like I'm a missionary in a foreign land, which sometimes it feels like that here. And if you've had a chance, friends, to travel at all out of the area, maybe you've had a chance to go to Florida or down to Texas or Arkansas or even South Dakota, Idaho, some of these places that are not on such strict lockdown, to feel that liberty and that freedom is pretty incredible. But there is an agenda here through the corporations that I'm really concerned about. And so again, on Facebook, I was really inspired by this comment made by Brianna Sagdahl that I want to share with you. She wrote, "We said when the vaccines arrive, nothing will change." They shouted, "Conspiracy theorist." And the vaccines arrived and nothing changed. "We said they'll want to inject the children with their magic potion too." They shouted, "Conspiracy theorists." And they now are testing experimental gene therapy on 6-month-old babies. "We said the vaccines have been tested long enough. Have not been tested long enough. The clinical trials don't end for another 2 years. This is the trial." They shouted, "Conspiracy theorists." And it was confirmed that hundreds of millions of people rolling up their sleeves are indeed taking part in clinical trials. "We said there will be deaths and serious injuries caused by vaccines," they shouted, "conspiracy theorists." And there are now hundreds of thousands of unexplained deaths, injuries, and permanent disabilities being reported and logged into VAERS per EUA law. No longer a passive reporting system, but the only system in place to track injuries caused by these liability-free products. "We said once injected, everyone will be expected to take regular top-up jabs to combat new variants." They shouted, "Conspiracy theorists." And now it's being reported that regular top-up jabs are being prepared to combat new variants. They shouted, "Conspiracy theorists." And all over the world, governments, corporations, and healthcare providers are collaborating on these schemes. "We said once the government has imposed their emergency lockdown legislation, they will never withdraw it." They shouted, "Conspiracy theorists." But here we are, a year plus later, and the government keeps renewing their emergency powers every few months or making permanent rule changes for a pandemic that is almost over, right? Were you consulted? "We said that getting this new mRNA jab actually places you at a higher risk for severe cytokine storms upon future exposures." Again, we've been called conspiracy theorists. "We've said, well, lots of things, and we'll say more because it's our job. The ethical responsibility as doctors, nurses, scientists, lawmakers, and concerned citizens to hold open dialogue about world-changing events, conversations that should have always been held without censorship or retribution in a free society. until now. Lawyers have been disbarred, doctors stripped of their license to practice, scientists have lost their tenure and funding, all while the Biden administration and the CDC spends millions on propaganda and space. And here in Oregon, too, right, with those billboards that say masks save lives. They've shouted conspiracy theorists at every turn, laughing at the ruin of lives and careers, too afraid or too ignorant to face the truth. But everything we warned about has come true. Everything you laughed at has actually happened and will continue to happen. This is not the light at the end of the tunnel. It's only the beginning. They've actually written a book on what they're doing right now and what they're about to do. And we know this because we've read it. This is just the first chapter. And again, it's just a reminder to all of us not to be a Debbie Downer. It's about telling the truth. It's about being real and up close and honest about what we're facing. And it stirs the pot a little bit. I understand that. And they will say, oh, conspiracy theory. But when we start seeing these things happen and play out in real life, real time, we have to be honest about it. I've got a call on the line now I'm going to take. Good morning. Who am I talking to this morning?
Dale.
Hey, Dale. How are you, my friend?
I'd be better if we were free again.
I hear ya. What would you like to share this morning?
I heard Jeff Krupp mention something about Kate Brown made a statement to the effect that she wanted to eradicate Trump support in this state.
Wow.
So we have got to stand up to her and figure out a way to do it because she's murdering Oregon.
Well, and certainly I know all of our businesses are on life support. I don't know how much longer our businesses can continue with this threat of shutting down. And now with the move of the several counties going to high risk and potentially being closed again, this is troubling, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not something we can approach on a one-by-one basis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It has to be done as a group.
Right. Have you heard of the business, the Freedom Business Fellowship, Dale? Have you joined and been a part of that? Because there's another meeting coming up on Friday at 7 p.m. at the River Church. And it's businesses and individuals who are concerned coming together. I think this is the start of some of this, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't heard about that. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. We'd love to see you there and tell who you know and businesses and leaders that you know, because that you're exactly right. Together, we've got to stand. And that's why I like Chris Ann Hall, too, by the way. Chris Ann Hall, she has a training tonight, Liberty First University, by video at the River Church at 7 p.m. And she talks about our constitutional rights and how we can, it's not really civil disobedience when it's unlawful activity and mandates. It's noncompliance that we need to do. We will not comply. And she teaches us how to do that using our Constitution and then us also knowing about our Oregon rights as well. So maybe you can join us tonight too, Dale.
Where's the information on that again?
Well, you can go to theriverNW.com, theriverNW.com, and get signed up, or you can send me an email, Dale, and I'll send you the information. I'd love to have you come and come to the training tonight at 7 o'clock, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. Have a great day. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Yes, indeed, friends, we've got to stand strong against this. I've got more news and more things to stand for when we come back from this break. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 9:22 in the morning. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. 45 degrees at the KSLM studio, warming up to 53 today. I'm looking forward to that. In fact, in faith, I wore my sandals. It's interesting because back here with all the equipment and things in the studio, you've not been to the KSLM studios, it would be fun to maybe do an open house and have you guys come by and see the studios. I've had people say, oh, you should do a live video while I'm on air. That, you know, the saying, you have a face for radio, you know, I kind of like being behind the scenes and behind the microphone, but we may get to that point technology-wise. But the studio here, we have to keep it kind of cool because of all the equipment and stuff. And so it's easier to wear boots back here than it is with sandals. But in faith, I wore my sandals. It's going to warm up nicely. And in South Dakota, all those years that I lived with all the snow and stuff, and by the way, they had snow yesterday, quite a bit of it. In fact, some friends down in the Edgemont area even lost their power. Don't miss that at all. But as soon as it would start getting over about 50 degrees, I'd break out the sandals in faith. So I'm doing the same thing here, trusting that our weather will warm up. And it looks like by the weekend, it'll be in the 60s again, maybe even Monday and Tuesday in the 70s. So that's something to look forward to. I want to say happy birthday to Ben Punley, Salem Business Journal. It's his birthday today, and to Sonny Pollard. Happy birthday to you, Sonny. And I tell you what, I love that last name. Mm-hmm. We don't know if we're related or not, but there could be some relation down the line that Terry and Sonny might even be related. That's kind of cool. So we continue the conversation today, and I'd encourage you, if you want to join in, you can give me a call, 503-589-1220. There's a lot of news regarding, you know, what can we do in Oregon to open things up? And we really, you know, many areas, kids are in school. Many states around the nation, kids are going to school full time. And yet here we are trying to get back to that spot, right? And there was a press conference with Governor Kate Brown, and she updated the coronavirus risk levels for Oregon on Tuesday. And six counties moved backward from the moderate to the high category. Multnomah, Clackamas, Deschutes, Klamath, Lynn, and Tillamook counties all shifted to the high risk category, which means indoor dining capacities at restaurants would drop from 50 to 25. Additionally, outdoor capacities will be dropped from 150 to 75 people. These risk levels go into effect Friday, April 9th, giving businesses until then to make necessary changes to reflect the updated risk levels. Below is a full list of county risk levels that will take effect Friday, April 9th. So low risk is Baker, Crook, Gilliam, Grant, move from moderate, Harney, Hood River, Jefferson, Lake, Lane, Mahar, which moved from moderate, Morrow, Sherman, Wallowa, if I'm saying that right, Wasco, Wheeler, and Yamhill. Now, moderate risk is Clatsop, Columbia, Polk, Umatilla, moved from high, Union, Washington. High risk is Benton, Clackamas, moved from moderate to high risk, Coos, Curry, Deschutes, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, moved from moderate, Lincoln, Lynn, moved from moderate, Marion, Multnomah, moved from moderate, and Tillamook moved from moderate. As of Tuesday, there were no counties in the state's highest risk category as extreme. Oregon's risk-based approach to reducing the spread of the virus assigns each of the 36 counties to one of four categories, extreme, high, moderate, and lower risk, based on local virus metrics reported to the state health department. The risk levels up or down on a biweekly basis as case fluctuates. Counties can also get a two-week extension and let them bring case numbers down. Now, there's counties put on a warning list as well. These counties were put on the warning. Baker County qualifies for extreme risk, but was given a two-week caution period. Lane County qualifies for moderate risk, but was given a two-week caution period. Yamhill County qualifies for moderate risk, but was given a two-week. Columbia qualifies for extreme risk, but was given a two-week. Polk County qualifies for high risk, but was given a two-week caution period at moderate risk because it moved down from high risk in the last movement period. So these counties are moving back and forth. And here's the interesting thing. We're starting to see, and if you remember the other day on Monday, I shared a story that was pretty important in regards to Baker City standing up against this movement and this fluctuation. And basically, the mayor of Baker City said, look, we are declaring an emergency, an economic emergency, and we're declaring a mental health emergency in our area, and we will not comply. Yep. And now, Stan Pulliam, mayor of Sandy, Oregon, wrote a personal letter as well. And this is interesting. He said, Kate Brown shutdown update. The news is just starting to break that Kate Brown is moving Clackamas County backwards into the high-risk category. What this means for small business owners is that capacity is shrinking back to 25% for restaurants and bars to a maximum of 50 people. This goes into effect this Friday. She is denying us the courtesy she afforded others with a two-week grace period before sending those counties into total shutdown. This means that recently ordered food in restaurants will go bad. Employees who are starting to return to work will have to stay home. Businesses will have lines at the door to make sure Kate Brown's arbitrary numbers are not exceeded under the threats of fines, losing video lottery machines, or other administrative punishments. What did we do to deserve this? The numbers would be laughable if the consequences for our family business weren't so dire. In the last 2 weeks, positive tests for coronavirus has surged a whopping 1.3 percent points. In the early March, we averaged 208 cases a week for roughly 400,000 residents of Clackamas County. Today, we're averaging 298 cases per week, which triggered moving us to a higher category. Any sane person can see that 90 cases for 400,000 people should not trigger half the capacity of a small business to vanish. Kate Brown told me back in December that she had the data to prove that the virus spreads like a wildfire in restaurants and gyms. I'm still waiting to see this data. I'm still waiting because it doesn't exist. As mayor of one of Oregon's fastest growing cities, I'm blessed with watching the community I grew up in into a robust economy and measured growth while restraining our small town charm, character, and spirit. And I felt the pain of our family businesses who continue to be kicked while they're down as Kate Brown imposes arbitrary restrictions and threatens them with fines. This is not the Oregon I was born into. It's not the Oregon I want for my two little girls. If you're a small business who refuses to go backwards or one who complies, God bless you for continuing to fight. Send me a message and my family, and I'll be there to support you, your customers, your neighbors, and during this misuse of power and overreaching. And then he wrote a little note that this is his personal opinion. It's not the opinion of the council. But I applaud mayors standing up and saying, no, not on our watch. We are not going to comply. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, encouraging you to give us a call, 503-589-1220. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Brought to you this morning by the Safe Air Network, encouraging you to become a part of the Safe Air Network today. Go to safeairnetwork.com. And also want to share the best of the Willamette Valley voting presented by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking is now open. You can go to vote. BOWV.com, which stands for Best of the Willamette Valley.com. You can vote for your favorites each and every day up through about the 23rd of April. And we're going to have some more business owners in the studio tomorrow kind of talking about that and what the best of you voting for them and giving them those honors, what that's done for their business, especially during COVID this year. I want to go through a list of community calendar items that are going on right now. Of course, in April here is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And so if you go by the Capitol, you'll notice that there are several little ribbons tied to a tree, purple ribbons, reminding us to be aware of the needs of children around us. And certainly as I had been a foster mom, I know how important that is. Also tonight, 7 p.m. tonight, is Liberty First University at the River Church. To get registered, go to theriverandw.com. Business Freedom Fellowship will be this Friday as well at the River Church. And then coming up next week, Capital City Republican Women, they're having their meeting on the 14th. It's from 1 to 3, and you need to get registered by April 12th. The phone number, 503-371-2322. And then on the 17th of April, down at the Capitol, Oregon Right to Life at 2:30, they're meeting and they're going to do their March for Life down there. And so that'll be fun. And then the Safe Schools Summit, April 24th, that's a one-day seminar, parentsrightsineducation.org. Get registered for that. And here's something I'm really looking forward to coming up. On the 13th of May, the first baseball game, yes, at the Volcano Stadium. And there's a really good article. It's really long. on the front page of the journal talking about these baseball players and their vision to play and even willing to play without pay to get the exposure and get the experience and for the love of the game. And I know that they're looking for host families to host these baseball players as they come into the area. And if that's something you're interested in, certainly I encourage you to get them, contact the Volcano Stadium, and they'll get you more information. And part of what we want to do here at the station is stay connected to the community. And part of that is honoring people in our community. If you have someone in the community that you think have been an extremely good neighbor, they've been neighborly, they've done great things, we want you to nominate them. Send me their email. Send me an email with a little story, stacy@kslm.news. Our good neighbors for this month, the month of April, of course, we honored them last week, is Andrew and Trina Perkins, and they are the good neighbors for April. So if that's something that you, you know, a good neighbor, someone's maybe helped you out, and you just want to honor a friend, coworker, someone you go to church with, certainly nominate them today. And talking about a good neighbor, I'm bringing on this wonderful lady. Good morning to you, Julie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on the air. I'm doing great. And you and I had a conversation the other day, and you were telling me about something pretty incredible that's going on. And it's hard to believe that Mother's Day is right around the corner, but it is. And talk to me a little bit about your organization and what you're doing to be neighborly, right?
Yes, we, it's NAWIC, which is National Association of Women in Construction, and what we do is, well, we do things in the community, and we raise money to give out scholarships to students, male and female, who are going to college and taking some course in a construction field. Every little bit helps, especially nowadays.
Yes.
Last year, I had 18 applicants.
Wow.
I'm getting ready to send out the applications here in this next week and to see how many we're going to get this year. But funding, you know, fundraising has not been very friendly to us for a while, and our funds are slowly, you know, going away. So we have a an anonymous person has donated flowers for us to make bouquets and sell, and they're giving 100% of the proceeds to us.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be selling bouquets for $9.99 starting. I'm going to have pre-sales going out on our website at salemnawick.com. And or you can contact me and you can pre-purchase them. And then I'm going to have a booth down at Salem Harley the whole week of Mother's Day. And Mother's Week, I apologize. And at another event there. And then that's where you guys will come and pick up your flowers that you've purchased. Put a smile on your mom, your sister, your mother-in-law, your grandma, everybody's faces at that price point.
$9.99, you get a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and it goes to support a great cause. And, you know, when we think about the COVID and we think about all the things that we've walked through in this particular area, first it was the COVID shutdown, and then it was the fires. And then just a month or so ago, we had the ice storm. And we think about people that are trained with the skills in construction. They're highly essential, aren't they?
They are, and the girls want to go into construction, but a lot of people, the parents, I guess, should say, they don't, and I get it. They, you know, you don't want to be in construction, and they think of the roofer and 100-degree temperature up on the roof. Well, that's not the case. There's many different, you know, trades that are not outside, and the money that they make, if the parents only knew, you know, it's a good thing to do, and we're going to need them. And in the unions, I know there's a shortage, so it's we need to support them.
Well,
and give them the opportunity.
Yeah, and your organization goes and shows the advantages of being a part of this industry for men and women. And the beautiful thing about this construction, and there's so many elements to it. It's not just the actual, the hammer hitting the nail, although that's what actually is the end product. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of skill needed to make that team work. And it was neat the other, last week we had Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking in here. And Taylor, she's in marketing. She's the marketing director for their organization. And there's a good example right there. She's in the construction industry, and she's doing her part and her skills. And it so it takes all of that, right?
Yeah. Well, that's me. I'm not in the office. I'm out on site, so my job sites. But I'm not in the field working. But it all starts, all the paperwork has to go through me. The subs, you know, come with them through me. And, so there's a lot of little elements to the whole thing.
What's the most rewarding thing of the work that you do?
The relationships you build with the subs. And they have, over the years, come in very handy in situations where we needed volunteers or materials volunteered in time to help with a project, you know, in our community. And being able to call them up and ask them, and they are no problem doing it. And the other one to me that stands out is just watching my projects from that grow from the, from scratch all the way up and seeing the final product.
And being able to tell that story to students who are potentially looking in this field to go to. Now, you do you did 18 scholarships last year. About what, how much was each scholarship?
Well, no, we had 18 applicants. We gave out two scholarships.
You give two. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
So you had 18 applicants for two. Oh, my goodness. So what do you look? What do you look for in a recipient?
You know, all these kids came from OSU last year, and they send me their financials, and, you know, let me... Some of them send me a breakdown and let me know, you know, what this is costing them to live. And it's crazy. They send me their, you know, their transcripts, and I'm just amazed at the things that these, the volunteer and the extracurricular stuff and the classes that they're taking. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And then I have them just tell us something about them. I want to know what they do on their free time and if they're volunteering. And so it's just a little life story. And, it's hard sometimes. I have a committee who helps me with it, and it's hard.
I've been a grant reviewer before. It's similar. And you do. You want to just give everybody something, right? And about what is the amount that you'd like to give to each recipient?
We give a couple thousand apiece.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And so
Last year was two. So
we want to do that again this year, and this way we can help. Again, tell us one more time about the flower bouquets and where we can get them and how they can order them.
You can reach out to me, and I'll give you my information, to, you know, than anybody who asks. And or you can go on to NAWIC, Salem NAWIC's website, and there's information there. Our whole website's been revamped. It's beautiful. And then I will be at Salem Harley on the 6th, 7th, and the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before Mother's Day. And when you pre-order your flowers, you'll come and see me and pick them up.
Is there a date they need to pre-order by?
I'd like to try to have them all by the 5th if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have people out on corners too, and it sounds awful, out on booths selling flowers too. But I want to fulfill the pre-orders first. Yeah.
Do you have a goal of how many bouquets you hope to do this year?
Our minimum is 500.
Yay!
But the gentleman who's donating this says we could do a lot more than that, which would just be a record for us.
That would be amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And here's the cool thing, what you were sharing with me the other day, is that you have a bunch of volunteers that are coming together and put these bouquets together. That's incredible. So it's done with neighborly love all the way around, and it goes to a good cause. And I will have to say, Julie, my son-in-law, or I call him my son-in-love, Nathan, in South Dakota, he got his degree in construction management, and he is managing multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar projects of growth, hospitals and things and he's not even 30 yet. It's incredible the kind of training and the skills that they develop through these opportunities. And he got scholarships as well. So what you're doing is phenomenal. Give us one more time the website and spell it out for us.
Okay, it's nawicsalem.com.
Excellent. And we'll put that up on the show plan as well. Thank you for calling in and giving us an update.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful day today, okay?
You too.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And so you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and it's so fun to partner with community events like this where people are, it's all good all the way around, and certainly encouraging students. And I know our students have had quite a year themselves trying to go to school online, and everybody has adapted, right, and adjusted to all of the regulations and things that are hampering them. I want to encourage you, if you have a special project, maybe related to Mother's Day, maybe related to something that you're doing in your church or your school, we certainly would like to partner with you in promoting that. And I also want to say, if you're a business and you're trying to let people know that you're open again, you know, we have a wonderful sales staff and a team here that would love to assist you in getting the word out. And I think you'll find, if you advertise here with us. I truly believe that we have the most loyal listeners ever, and you will find your business impacted greatly by getting the word out that you're open and you provide the best services in the world. Of course, we'd like to partner with you on that as well. And certainly, there's all kinds of opportunities to team together and continue moving forward with a conservative message, and we're honored to be able to do that alongside of you, my friend. And so send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news, and we can partner together to get your information out there, not only on the public service side, but also on the commercial side. And so as we continue the conversation, I want to share with you, too, about the Safe School Summit that is coming up. It's going to be on April 24th, and there's opportunity there for you to bring friends and family. And if you don't have a student directly, but maybe you're a grandparent, maybe you're concerned about schools and our kids and their education, you need to be there. So you want to go to parentsrightsineducation.org, parentsrightsined.org, and get registered today. Safe School Summit, April 24th. We'll continue on after this break. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. I'm Stacey Ann. Thankful for you, my friends. It's 9:50 in the morning and about 46 degrees here at the KSLM studio. And, you know, we've had a great conversation this morning already, just kind of looking at kind of the state of the state where we're at in Oregon and talking about the new announcement from Governor Brown and moving counties to different levels. And some get a two-week notice, and some it's like starts on Friday. And it's such a burden. It's such a burden. And they talk about because of the metrics and the science and stuff. Well, interesting to share with you is this this article from Northwest Observer. If you're not subscribed to them, I encourage you. You can get updates in your email. You can go online, northwestobserver.com. This article says, Brown and Friends on COVID breakthrough cases. Now, COVID breakthrough, from what my understanding, and we'll talk a little bit here in the article, is when someone's had a vaccination, possibly they can get COVID, right? Or if they've had COVID, they can get it again, that kind of thing. So let me read this to you. And then I want to play this video clip, because remember, we were talking about they're making these assumptions of moving people in out of risk to lower risk to higher risk, and all of that, and businesses' lives, people's lives are depending on it in regards to they're able to make an income, right, and provide for their families. And as the mayor of Sandy pointed out in his letter that I read earlier, you know, the numbers don't add up. The science doesn't add up. It's almost overreach to affect when you have 400,000 people in a county and over 1.3% are affected or whatever. It's an interesting stat. So in this article, it says, a party of science passing the background, the buck around on COVID-19 breakthrough cases. At a recent virtual press conference, Lisa Balick, a reporter from COIN News, asked what should be a simple question. How many breakthrough cases do we have? A breakthrough case is one in which a vaccinated person gets the disease. After all, this isn't something elusive like an asymptomatic transmission or a problem with collection of data across county lines. Once a case is confirmed by a healthcare professional, it's not hard to find out if that person was vaccinated. Additionally, they can't be serious when they are suggesting the patient privacy is an issue. No one cares exactly who has a breakout or breakthrough case. People only care about how many breakthrough cases there are. Balick sets up the question simply. States across the country, including Washington, are informing the public about the number of breakthrough cases. In other words, getting COVID after being fully vaccinated. I was told last week that OHA won't provide that information due to privacy. But without providing identifying information, will Oregon provide the number of breakthrough cases to the public, aware that the vaccine is not 100% effective, but also to encourage people to get tested if they have symptoms after getting the vaccine? And that was her question. The answer from those who claim to be the party of science is very much go away. They didn't want to provide the data and tried to play the privacy card. And when that didn't work, they took a page out of the current playbook. We'll look into that and circle back. Transparency builds trust. If the number of breakthrough cases indeed are very small, make the number known. So I want to play this actual audio of them passing the buck. Remember, they're the party of science, and that's how they're controlling all of the you know, will we go to a moderate risk? Will we go to a low risk? Will we go to a high risk? You know, and yet they won't answer the simple question. So I want to play this for you now.
Go next to Lisa Balick with COIN. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes, good morning. Question for Director Allen. States across the country, including Washington, are informing the public about the number of breakthrough cases. In other words, getting COVID after being fully vaccinated. I was told last week that OHA won't provide that information due to privacy, but without providing identifying information, will Oregon provide the number of breakthrough cases to keep the public aware that the vaccine is not 100% effective, and also to encourage people to get tested if they have symptoms after getting the vaccine?
Yeah, I think I'd actually, Lisa, like to pitch that question to Dr. Seidlinger.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Director Allen. We continue to monitor cases that have developed in people who have been fully vaccinated and they've been 2 weeks from their last dose. When we initially started getting breakthrough cases, we reported those initial four cases. But in order to protect privacy, we didn't want to do so in an ongoing way. But as more Oregonians have gotten vaccinated, we will work with our local public health authorities to consolidate the number of breakthrough cases and report that. What I can say is that to date, the number of breakthrough cases has been very limited, considering the approximately 700,000 Oregonians who are fully vaccinated. This would be in line with the data that Washington State reported earlier this week and that other communities are seeing. These vaccines are safe and effective. Even in people who develop disease after being fully vaccinated, they protect against the most serious impacts, and we are not seeing hospitalizations in these individuals. So we'll continue to work to collect that data and share it in the near future.
What is the actual number right now statewide?
Dr. Seidlinger, can you answer that question?
I don't have the number of breakthrough cases statewide in Oregon at this time. And again, we're compiling that data and we can get that back.
Oh my goodness. So continuing on with the sidestepping and circling around and for the party of science, and yet they had no problem putting the numbers up, certainly during the COVID cases and talking about presumed cases and all of that. So again, it causes us to question the science, question the methods. It seems like they're picking winners and losers, and it's very challenging. And we've got to get together, and we've got to stand together on the same page, friends. And here's an opportunity tonight. I encourage you to come out to Liberty First University at the River Church tonight at 7 p.m. It's the third week of learning about our constitutional rights. And then if you're a business owner or a concerned citizen and want to join us at the Freedom Business Fellowship, and get that right, on Friday as well. And if you need more information, you can send me an email, Stacy@kslm.news. I would love to get you more information, and there are things that we can do, and certainly letting the mayor of Baker City know, letting the mayor of Sandy know, thank you for standing strong. We stand behind you. We need to get a hold of our county commissioners, and we need to let them know as well that we want them to stand strong, that no longer can we go up and down on presumed and unknown things. We need to join the Safe Air Network. These are things that we can do right now to open up Oregon, and it's time. It's past time, right? I'm so glad to be been able to share my time with you this morning, friends. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to remind you that you can continue to listen streaming on our website at kslm.news. This show and all of our other shows are saved up on our podcast. If you go to kslm.news, and then right there at the top, there's a podcast link. You can click on that, and you can find any of the past shows that we've done and share them. Grab that link and share it on your social media. And of course, I also want to encourage you, don't forget to go and vote today. The Best of the Willamette Valley voting started. In fact, you can vote for us. KSLM is your favorite radio station. Go to votebowv.com. So that's voteforbestofwillamettevalley.com. And you can vote every day between now and the 23rd of April. And you'll find all kinds of businesses that advertise with us that are you can vote for as well. In fact, even nonprofits, there's a whole list of things that we can do. And tomorrow morning, right here in the studio, we'll have the Best of Willamette Valley, and we'll be talking with some more businesses, how they've benefited and how they love serving you in our community. It's so exciting to partner together. We really do have an incredible, incredible Willamette Valley, don't we? I'm so thankful for you, friends. God bless you, and God bless the USA. Go out and share a smile today. Be blessed. There ain't no